Gem Pod presents the Horror Movie Show. This is the Horror Movie Show, episode 52 for August 11th, 2010. I'm the Horror Guy. Also here is the Horror Gal.
Hello.
Plus, we are super excited about our special guest this week, a working actor from Minnesota, Mr. Paul Cram.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Now, people can learn more about you at paulcramactor.com, correct?
That is right. They can learn all about projects that are in the works and ones that are already done.
And I see you got some great write-ups from the Star Tribune and Redbox, is it?
That is, yes. I did an interview with Redbox recently for the movie 13 Hours in a Warehouse and Peacock and stuff. So, fun stuff if people want to check it out.
That's cool. Now, you've been in actually over 30 films, and which would you say is the movie you want everybody to see in?
Oh, gosh. You know, everybody asks me that question. They're like, out of all your movies, what should I see?
All of them, right?
All of them, yes. You know, honestly, I would actually say, and it's probably because I like the look and how the editing all came together. The movie that I'm probably the most proud of my performance in is Contract Killers.
And what year would that come out, Paul?
That Contract Killers, I believe, came out in 2008, or it might have been right on the cusp of 2009.
Okay, great. And what's that about?
It's actually an action movie. It's woman that works for the CIA gets entangled up in kind of a international espionage thing, and I'm the geeky computer guy that, you know, just because I work for the FBI, gets tangled up in it for about 5 minutes.
Oh, okay, cool. I noticed you also got 3 movies in post-production or that have been completed. Do you know when they're going to come out, Paul?
I do not. That's the funky thing with being an actor is that, you know, I mean, there's been projects I've worked on where they're out within a year, and then there's projects where, gosh, it takes 2 or 3 years. So, and I work so much in the independent film world that, you know, it the projects I've done too never see the light of day. Unfortunately. Unfortunately.
Yeah, that is a shame, because there's probably a lot of gems out there that nobody will ever see.
Yes, there's some work I've done where I'm like, oh my gosh, nobody's ever going to see that. It's a bummer.
All right, Paul. Anywhere else you want us to send our audience there to get more information besides your main website? You on Twitter or anything like that?
I am on Twitter, actually. People can just type in my name and I'll pop up. I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, you know, all those social media outlets. Yeah, I'd love to hear from people. I get a lot of autograph requests from people in, like, Japan. It'd be wonderful to hear from, it'd be great to hear from people here in the U.S.
Okay, cool. So we'll have all the links to Paul Cram's work and his sites that he's on, so you can contact Paul.
Awesome.
Cool. Now we're going to start our reviews this week. First one's Afterlife. Just came out on Blu-ray about a week ago. It also came out on DVD. Also, this movie has a tagline of "Life is the symptom, death is the cure." Runs for about an hour and 40 minutes, and it is rated R for nudity, and a lot of nudity, let you know. Disturbing images, language, and brief sexuality. All right, Harga, I'll start with you. What's this movie about?
It's pretty much about this woman who seems severely depressed in a relationship and has this accident where she supposedly died, and the mortician can actually talk to the dead, and he's like transitioning her from life to death into the other world.
That sounds interesting. By your overview, any stars in this, Argo?
Yeah, quite a few. Christina Ricci's in it, Liam Neeson, and Justin Long.
All right. And Paul, what'd you think of their acting right off the bat?
You're going to put me on the spot. I am a huge fan. I'm a huge Christina Ricci fan. So I'd have a hard time finding fault with anything she does because I'm such a fan. overall, I thought it was good. Overall, I thought their acting and everything was very, you know, succinct and to the point. Yeah, that's what I thought.
I thought Liam Neeson stood out, man. I thought it was a perfect role for him. He's just got that somber look about him.
He is creepy.
Right?
No doubt about it.
I think Justin Long, this was a different role for him than I was seen him in before. So, I mean, he's got some skill, though. I mean, I enjoyed him in this film, personally.
I was surprised to see him, actually. I was surprised to see him in a role like this.
Right, very emotional like that.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember him more from, what's that TV show he was on? Ed or something, where he was just the really nice guy. And in this one, he was a little darker.
Right, yeah, a little shady, sort of.
Yeah.
Not totally corrupt, but he just had that side about him. Other thing I wanted to say, Christina Ricci, boy, she lost some weight, didn't she? I mean, she yes. looked absolutely good in this. I remember from that, I think it was Buffalo 66 it was, where she was real chunky. And she's lost a good, I don't know, 30 pounds maybe. But anyway, start us off, Argal, and where does the movie begin?
Well, the movie opens up where they're having sex, her and her boyfriend. And it doesn't seem to be going too well. She seems like her mind's wandering off. And she gets up and gets in the shower, and her nose starts bleeding. And right away, I think, does she have cancer? I'm thinking that she has some kind of terminal illness just by the way she was acting.
Really? I didn't pick that up. How about you, Paul?
I actually thought the exact same thing. I was like, oh, this is going to go that route.
Right. Okay, so pick it up from there, Paul. Where does the movie head off after that initial scene?
Well, you know, after that initial scene, for a while, I was like, I can't tell if this movie is ever going to pick up because it kind of shows how mundane her life is.
Right.
You know, it walks through, you know, she goes to school and she seems so depressed. And I was like, you know, and within some of that, she obviously takes some pills here and there. And they never really explain if she has any type of an illness or what exactly that is. Or if they did, I didn't pick up on it. Did you pick up on that, Horror Gal?
No, not at all. They never did explain that. I was just wondering why she kept popping so many pills.
There was a part in the middle where Liam Neeson talked about her and her mother, and there was a little thing in there with them why she was depressed. But, yeah, I never picked up that she was ill or sick. It just seemed like she was really depressed to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I that's what I took away from it, was that it was more of a depressed state than a terminal illness, you know, after seeing the film. But, it took me a while to get into the movie, I guess, because I couldn't tell where. And I think maybe they did that on – maybe the director and writer, you know, maybe they did that on purpose, just really trying to drive home the point of how dull her life is.
Right. Could be. Yeah. And also there's a scene pretty quick within the first 10 minutes when she's at school there where she's seeing almost like a ghostly figure. The lights go out and she gets freaked out.
You know what I thought? I thought death was coming for her. That's what it seems like.
Yeah, I
sort of like Final Destination.
Yeah.
There's actually some clues with that, Hargal, with smoke and things, now that you mention that, that could lead you in that direction.
Right.
Okay, Hargal, pick us up until she gets into an accident. I mean, we're not spoiling anything here, listeners. She apparently dies. That's what this movie's about. And she comes across this mortician. And what happens with him?
And she wakes up and he's speaking to her. She doesn't realize that she's dead. And he's trying to convince her that she is dead and that she should just move on.
Any clues there you want to say, Horror Gal?
You want me to tell?
Well, this movie's got a lot of controversy around it because there's two main points that this revolves around, but I think we can get into it a little bit. Yeah, she don't think she's dead, but he's trying to convince her she's dead. So throughout this whole movie, the audience is guessing, is she dead or not? Correct, Paul?
That's correct, yes. It had me guessing for a while. Almost to the point, it had me guessing so long that I almost started to not care.
Right. I felt that too, also. And I was a little bored throughout. I think it was a little slow paced and got monotonous over time.
No, I didn't feel that way.
No?
And I wasn't guessing the whole time either because of all the clues. I thought for sure she was alive because none of the other bodies could get up and do things. I mean, she grabbed keys to open doors. And even the scene where the little boy seen her, I'm like, she can't be dead. But I mean, yeah, there's a twist in there with the little boy. Then you're wondering, yeah, maybe she was really dead. But no, all along, I thought she was alive.
Yeah, but there's twists in both directions that you could say that she was dead or was alive. And I think that goes to the directing and the writing of it, to be honest with you, because even after the movie gets done, you're still wondering because there's holes in both directions. How about for you, Paul?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think you hit the nail on the head, especially from where my take on it is that it's with the directing and the writing where it was, I was like, come on, make a decision.
Right.
And I should say too, I thought that it was a really interesting idea and a really interesting thought of, you know, what happens when you die and what's all that about. And, you know, all those questions that the movie raises are fascinating. I just was bored with it after how long they talked about it.
Right. Okay, horror gals, are any graphic scenes in this? Blood, gore, anything like that?
Not really.
So then you were displeased with that.
No, not really. I was really into this story. Maybe because of the actors. I do like the actors in it, but no, I found it to be very interesting.
Okay, how about the one ghost or ghost that she sees, supposed ghost, the old woman?
Well, that was creepy. Yeah.
go on, Paul.
I loved that. I loved that when that really, really creepy dead old woman starts talking. I was just like, the first thought that went through my head is, where did they find this woman?
Right.
Because she looks like she shouldn't be alive, which is their point. But I thought it was, at first I thought it must have been a computer animation, but I don't think that was the case.
Yeah, I don't think so, too. She was very well made up, looked creepy. Her eyes were all out of shape and whacked out looking. And there's also that other scene when she looks in the mirror, Christina Ricci, and she sees an old dead, her old dead self, basically, right?
Yeah.
So there's a twist in the other direction. So
I have a question. What did you guys think of? What did you think of they're kind of like dream sequences in a way, like, you know, when the old woman first appears,
right?
And talks to her and stuff, and they kind of went off into a little bit of a, because then they show her wake up again later, and it's like, oh, was that a dream? What was that? And they did that a few different times throughout the film, and I was curious, because I myself, it pulled me out of the movie a little bit, and I was curious what your guys' take on was on those dream things. Did they help you, or did they?
Personally, for me, I think it hurt. I think this movie was all over the place, in my opinion. Not only with her dream sequences, Justin Long's had several where you didn't know if they were real or not, and then you'd see him wake up, you know, bizarre scenes with her standing there and some bloody scenes. But how about you, Hargo?
I had understood that they were dreams. I mean, it didn't confuse me at all.
You didn't think they were out of place at all, so it was a nice cohesive story for you?
It was to me, yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
Nice.
Okay, let's get up towards the end there. And what did you want to explain, horror gal? Any shocks, turns, twists you weren't expecting?
Yeah, there were a few twists and turns in the end there. I was very shocked and very disappointed with the ending, so I really don't want to tell why, but...
Okay, did you get the part with all the pictures that the mortician was keeping?
I think that's probably the only part I really didn't get.
All right, how about you, Paul?
Did I get the part with the pictures? Is that the question?
Yeah.
I did. I thought it was creepy. What I didn't understand, oh gosh, and I don't know how to say it without giving it all away, so maybe I shouldn't.
go on, give it a try.
Again, it's kind of, it was riding that line of, are these people dead? Are they not dead? And I don't know. There was something odd to me about how it played out, that it seemed more interesting to me when that they weren't dead.
Yeah, me too. Yes, I agree.
And then to find out that they all were, I guess it just left me a little confused. So I'm probably not always the smartest ball when I'm
Well, this is one of the movies they want you to talk about with your friends and everybody. Oh, was she or wasn't she? You know, there's so many little clues throughout this whole movie that can lead you in both directions. So it wasn't a perfect story by no means, but it was fascinating in the fact of what could happen after death, which there's been several movies like that. You know, the in-between spot before the heaven and hell kind of got that feeling, like, you know, with a twist on it. But anyway, all right, let's wrap that up, our review there, and get into our ratings, and we'll start with the horror gal and the overall storyline.
Well, you know what I'm going to say. I really liked it. So I really didn't feel there were any plot holes. I figured it out. I was very intrigued with the whole storyline. Something about that afterlife that really gets me into the movies. I don't know. I'm afraid of dying, so maybe it kind of helps a little bit knowing that there's maybe...
Oh, and you would want to happen what happened to her?
Well, no, I'm not saying that, but I was very intrigued with the story. I enjoyed it. I'm giving it 8. Good.
Okay. Paul, how about your rating?
Well, I do have to agree with Horror Gal that I thought that the storyline was interesting, and it was definitely, you know, captivating, albeit I think it just drug on too long for me, so I would give it a 5.
I'm even going to drop it down one off of Paul's. I'm going down to a 4 because there was too many holes, in my opinion, and it leads you in both directions. And I got quite bored with probably after 30 minutes of it because really nothing happened. There was no really frightening scenes. I was shocked how much nudity was in this of Christina Ricci. I hope she made a lot of money. but weren't you two guys shocked at that?
I was actually a little bit, but then I mean, the way that they played it, it seemed very clinical in some ways. I know that they were going for sensual, but I don't know, to me it didn't seem super sexy. It seemed like she looked like she was dead. So I was just like, ew.
Right. How about you, Argo? It was a little
shocking. No, not shocking. No, it seemed natural. Because that's what would happen if you really died and you were taken to the morgue, so.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Okay, let's move into the acting, Horror Gal. What's your rating on that?
Stellar. Justin Long, I have to really commend him in this role. I think it's probably his best work. He was awesome. Any movie that I've seen him in before this, he was just a so-so actor, but this, I really enjoyed his acting. I think he pulled it off 100%. Christina Ricci, she's okay. I wouldn't even put her in the same categories with Justin Long for this movie. Liam Neeson played a great part. 9, outstanding for the acting because of Justin Long.
Okay, I know this has to be hard, Paul, rating an actor, being an actor, but can you do it?
I could do it, sure. No, it is a little hard because I'm like, oh, gosh, you know, you don't ever want to put down other people because you know everything they put into it. Although, you know, the acting, if it wasn't for the acting, I think I would have been so tempted to turn this one off. So I would actually give the acting an 8.
Mm. I agree with you, Hargal, for a change. I think this was Justin Long's best role. I did like to see his serious side. I mean, he got really emotional. I believed when he was crying and he was going through all this, you know, pain of losing his girlfriend, basically. And Liam Neeson was by far the best in the movie, in my opinion. He made it. I'm kind of agreeing with Paul there. If the acting was poor, this would have been one that I would have wanted to turn off. And yeah, Richie probably was the least of the three, in my opinion. But it was still excellent, so I'm going with an 8 also in the acting. Now let's move into the video effects, camera work, cinematography, Hargal.
I thought they had some great camera work in there. It was not too many really good, juicy video effects, but the few that they had, like with her made up when she looked in the mirror and seeing what she would look like if she was really dead, that was a good scene. And the way they had that older lady made up was really good.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting something like her to and what's the word I'm
embalmed.
Looking for? Yeah, well, I was kind of looking forward to that. I thought maybe he would embalm her, but didn't happen. So
you like gore?
Yeah, I did. So for video, I'm going to go right down the middle with a 5 average.
All right, how about you, Paul?
Yeah, you know, honestly, there's just those few scenes to go off of. For as far as the effects go, I like what they did with what they did. I'd probably give them, you know, I'd probably say a 6.
Yeah, it was very, what's the word I'm looking for? I was expecting a lot more out of this. I mean, somebody's dying. I'm expecting to see him cut up some people. It didn't have to be her. It could have been anybody. Right. You know, they had the scene there where he was stitching up the guy's mouth that was already dead. You know, that we've all seen that a million times before. I was waiting for some knife wounds, things like that. I mean, even the stitching scene there in the beginning was pretty weak. And they made it almost like she should have been in such pain. You know, why? You know, she's dead, or even if she was just drugged. I mean, she wouldn't feel that. People get stitches all the time. But just how they made that there, it seemed a little bizarre to me.
Did you notice how quickly the scar went away?
Yes.
It was, like, totally gone.
Yes, and it doesn't make sense either way you look at it, what happened with how that scar progressed. And I've even seen some comments on the site how could she been dead with one little wound in the head? Well, did you see the car, I told the people? I mean, he went and looked at the car. The car was completely demolished. And actually, she didn't look that damaged compared to what the shape the car was in.
I agree.
So, and also, before the video effects, I'm just remembering something else. Did you guys pick up on the, like, ghostly supernatural clues of, like, the bobblehead and things like that?
A little bit. You mean the bobblehead that was in the car?
Right.
I mean, it just seemed ominous in a way to me. I didn't necessarily feel like there was anything too pointing any direction. How did you take it?
It got weird to me, like her soul was in that bobblehead or something, because then he was thinking she was really alive after that, and then talking to the little boy that seen him. I do want to say one other little twist. The boy that sees her, I thought it was pretty cool how they portrayed Liam Neeson convincing him that he's got the same ability to see dead people. I thought that was a pretty good twist there on that. But anyway, for the video, yeah, there just wasn't much of it. What was there was decent. I'm just going down the middle average on that. Now let's move into the sound, audio, and dialogue. Hargal.
Excellent. I thought the dialogue was good. They had some really creepy music playing for the morgue scenes. A lot of the scenes when they were in the morgue was very good. I loved the music they had playing. There were a couple jump scenes. Do you want me to tell you one of them?
Sure.
Because you always ask.
Go on.
there was a jump scene there where Justin was sitting in her car after it was all demolished, and the officer came up and tapped him on the shoulder or whatever. That was a jump scene.
I didn't jump there.
You didn't?
No, not at all.
Oh, there was one good effect that I forgot to mention was when one of the dream sequences, she was in the shower and she was holding her heart and her whole like chest was split open. I thought that was a good video effect.
Right, and she actually pulled her heart out.
Yeah. Okay. So, what we were talking about, the sound?
Right. Oh.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the sound. 7 good.
Paul?
I thought the sound was seamless. I thought it, and the thing I liked about it is that I didn't notice it. And I think that a lot of times that's a really good sound if I'm not noticing and it's not taking me out of the movie.
I've heard that a lot.
Yeah. And so I would agree with Horror Gal. I would give it a 7. I thought that the sound was really good.
Yeah, I'm just the opposite of both you. I don't think there was good sound in it. I think the best sound effect music type scenario was when she was in the school there in the beginning when the lights went out. It got the music pumped up and got very suspenseful, chilling-like feel. But overall, I don't think this... I mean, it's not a movie you really need a lot of sound in because it's so melodramatic and you're thinking of death and things like that. But it just didn't pick me up at all. And I'm going down with a 4 in that, in the sound department. Now let's get our overall rating. This just came out about a week ago. It's available on Blu-ray, DVD. It's on Netflix. It's everywhere. Horror Gal, what's going to be your rating and recommendation for our listeners?
I'm telling people to go buy it. I think they're really going to enjoy it. I thought the plot line was excellent. The acting was stellar. Few good video effects in there and some good sound. So I say go buy it. I think it's definitely worth to go out and buy. My final rating's going to be a 7. Good.
Were you recommending a Blu-ray? Spend the extra money?
I would say, yeah, buy the Blu-ray.
So you would rewatch this movie?
I definitely would, yeah.
All right, there you have it. Horror Gal 7, and Paul is next.
I would tell people to watch it if they like the genre, you know. There's too many inconsistencies for me to say that I think people should go out and buy it, but I think that people could rent it just for the fact of it kind of raises really interesting questions and conversation. So I would give it a 6.
And I'm going one lower to a 5. I was just bored in this film, and it definitely isn't worth the buy, in my opinion. Maybe a rent to see the acting from Liam Neeson and Justin Long. Guys will like seeing Christina Ricci, probably, even though it wasn't a sexy role, but she is nude in it. Yeah, just too boring. Doesn't really make sense. Either way, there's too many flaws in it, in my opinion. So I'm going to say avoid it. I'm going to give it an average rating of a 5.
Before you finish with this movie, did you pick up the clue when the cop was talking, when Justin Long went to the police station and the cop was talking
about the drugs? Yes.
All right.
We picked it up. There's a lot of clues like that throughout the whole movie, actually. Okay. And before we just completely ended it, I just got a few facts on it. Kate Bosworth was originally cast as Anna, but was replaced by Richie.
And
Alfred,
really?
Yeah, and Alfred Molina was cast as Elliot, but was replaced by Neeson. Two other facts, it only took 25 days to film the movie, and the prop knife used by Anna, the one she was holding, is the same knife that was used in Fatal Attraction in 87.
Wow.
I'm sure all them stage props are reused, right? Paul, you'd have insight on that, right?
I think that they are, yes. They're all stored in the same warehouse.
Okay. All right, so that wraps up our review of Afterlife. Our second review is going to be an old Roger Corman flick called Forbidden World. It's a double disc set that's on Blu-ray and DVD. came out in 82, has a tagline of a science fiction horror adventure that'll blow you away. The running time's under an hour and 20 minutes, so Hargal, give us a little overview of this old ancient flick.
Okay, they do have Mutant on the cover of the DVD.
Yes, that's an alternative title.
All right, I just wanted to make sure you knew that. All right, this is a little bit strange to kind of overview. I don't know, this space marshal or whatever he is sent to this planet where they're doing some kind of genetic experiments, and the experiment gets loose and starts feeding on all the scientists that are in the lab or something like that.
That's pretty good, don't you think, Paul?
I do. I agree. I like the irony, too, that this mutant thing that they were actually developing for food starts to eat them.
Right. Yeah. A lot of alien-type things in this. This thing looks a little bit like Alien.
That's what I was thinking when I seen it, yeah.
But anyway, any stars in this either of you have ever heard of?
None I've ever heard of.
Okay, Jesse Vint plays the lead astronaut, or whatever you want to call him. He used to be in older TV shows. A lot of them were. I think some people might know him from the older 70s and 80s episode of Hogan's Heroes here and there or something like that. But, Paul, why don't you start us off, and how does this movie begin?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, this movie begins with... did you say it was like a space marshal type guy? Is that just
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Well, it starts out with him being woken up by his little, I don't know, what would you call it, a cyborg robot guy?
C-3PO.
Which I thought was a nice little nod to Star Wars or something.
Right, exactly.
He gets woken up and they go through, he gets woken up because they're being chased by some... They never really explain that, actually. It's just kind of a little action sequence where, you know, they're getting shot at and they shoot back and blow up some spaceships and, it's kind of a fun little scene. And there's interesting music choice, I thought.
Oh, boy.
It was
very
like,
interesting.
Huh,
good like word, Paul.
The classical music. So that was that. I had no idea what to expect with this movie. I was like, "What is this?"
After the first 5 minutes, boy, I was regretting it.
So they do the action sequence, and then his little robot buddy says, "Oh, you know, you can't go back to sleep. We got to go to this other planet. You know, you can't go home. We've got to finish up this little job type thing." There's a I don't think at that point they say exactly what the job is, and I think it's not until he gets to the planet that, you know, it seems like the story starts to they don't tell you everything that he's supposed to do until it's kind of on a need-to-know basis, it seems like, which I kind of appreciated because they didn't tell you everything right away.
Right. Before we get more into the story, how did you guys like the effects there in the beginning?
Very cheesy, so funny. God,
super cheesy. How about for 82 though, Hargal, almost 30 years, you think it was cheesy back then too?
Name another movie that came out in 82. I don't know what to compare it to. It seemed very cheesy. I don't know.
How about for you, Paul?
I thought it was super cheesy, and I was trying to get a really good reference point because I was like, like Horror Gal, I was like, 1982, what in the world was going on then, and what other movies happened, and that kind of stuff. So, but then I looked it up online, and I was like, oh, Aliens came out actually in 79.
Right.
So 82, then I was like, having that as a reference point for effects, I was like, actually, I thought the effects were awful.
Yeah, I agree, too.
Yeah, went downhill.
And I'm not even sure if Corman did it on purpose to make it, like, awful, like a super cheesy film. What do you think of that, Paul?
Well, you know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I wonder if this is – once I started to look at it as kind of a kitschy take on Aliens – Then I liked it. I was like, this is kind of funny.
Right. Okay, Harg, I'll pick it up. He gets to this unknown planet that had a disaster there. He don't know. And when he gets there, what happens?
Well, they show him this thing that they had genetically spliced together. It was actually some kind of bacteria with some kind of animal, and it made this kind of creature. Yeah, that reminded me of Alien. Well, the cocoon thing even did. There was, you remember the part where the thing attached to the guy's face in Alien?
Right.
That thing, that's what it reminded me of when it was up in that enclosed area.
Right, only bigger, though. It was bigger in there.
Right, it was a little bigger. It
just looked like a blob of nothing, really.
Right.
Okay, so what happens with that? Everybody knows the thing's going to get out. You know all that going into this.
Yeah, of course, the guy goes in to clean the room or whatever he's doing in there and opens the cage to look at it, and the thing drips out of the cocoon or whatever. And it actually attaches to his face.
Ripping off Alien, huh?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, as bad as this was, I honestly jumped out of my seat when it, because it didn't happen when it thought it was
going to happen. It didn't happen when you thought it was going to happen. That's true.
I literally jumped up out of my recliner when I was watching it. Did you guys jump at all at that scene?
I jumped a little bit.
Oh, just a little bit. I actually did. I actually came up out of it. It was just a startling scene, even though you knew it was going to happen. Okay.
I don't recall jumping at all.
Okay. Well, I did there. Well, I had it loud, too, on the home theater, which could have been because the music blared there also. Okay, Paul, take us up. It gets loose, and what starts happening?
Yeah, it gets loose, and I like how it got out of the, because they had that specific lab that it gets loose in was quarantined, you know, from the rest of the base.
Right.
And I really like how it got out of there by, you know, somehow attaching to that guy's face and kind of getting into him. From there, it gets out of the quarantine space and out. And they don't know where it is, the rest of the you know, the marshal, space marshal. So a lot of time is spent looking for it and, you know, talking about where it's at. And I was surprised, actually, with how much sex was in the movie, too. With and maybe it was just, again, that kitsch type thing, because it's like they don't know where this thing is, and they just are like, well, let's go to bed. So that made me laugh a lot. You know, there was that. So this thing is out there. You know, one person had died, and that the alien type, I guess I shouldn't call it an alien because it was more of a mutant. The mutant thing, you know, got into his body and got out into the rest of the space station, and they don't know where it's at. And at that point, everybody goes to bed, right?
At that point, you were probably wishing you never started watching it, right?
Yeah.
How was the creature effect? Start with you, Hargo.
Not very good. I don't know. They looked so phony to me.
Super phony. How about for you, Paul?
I just kept thinking a puppet. Like, I was like, this is like a really big puppet. With teeth. You know, actually what came to mind with the way that his mouth would open and stuff was, oh gosh, what was that super, super kitschy? I cannot think. It's right on the tip of my tongue. That plant. From the 80s that would
Rocky
eat
Horror Picture Show?
Not the Rocky Horror Picture Show. The one with the plant that would eat people.
Oh,
the
I Venus, do remember
the
that.
The Venus Flytrap?
Oh, gosh. I think they made it into a musical, too, and it's driving me nuts. I can't think of the name of it. Little Shop of Horrors.
That's it.
Little Shop of Horrors. I could not get that image out of my mind.
Yeah, it was super cheesy face.
Yes, yes.
Go on, Paul.
No, so I didn't love the – I did not love the video effects, but part of me, looking at it from, like, that kitschy aspect – I could appreciate if that's what they were trying to do. They hit the nail on the head.
Think this is a cult classic, Paul?
I wouldn't say this is a cult classic like the Rocky Horror Picture Show, no.
Okay. Before I get too far into the story, there's one other part I wanted to describe, even though it's later. These two women are so smart, they said, we can't kill it. Let's try to talk to it. So they got this old computer there, and she's typing into it. And then this stupid big creature starts typing down answers in there. It was so dumb. I'm like, oh my God, is this so phony? And then when it kills her, what a poor kill shot that was when they actually got that lady by the computer. But anyway, Horrorgal, describe up towards the end. How many deaths were in it? Did you like the ending? Could have there have been a part two back then if...
Oh, I don't know. I guess they could have made a part two. There was only three of them that ended up living. I don't know. I didn't like anything about the movie.
Nothing about the ending, any kills? You didn't like the blobby mess when they turned into the mutants?
No, not particularly.
Okay, how about you, Paul, the ending?
The ending, gosh. I laughed at the ending. I don't know if that's a good thing. Well, just the way that they had the big creature die, I was like, huh, that's very funny. I could easily see there being a second take on that, too. Yeah, a number two, the Forbidden World number two.
I got a feeling this is one that's going to be remade.
You think so?
I really do. It's not a cult classic, but it's got some iconic stature. I don't know why. Maybe because it's a Corman from back then when he made all these cheesy-like flicks. I'm not sure.
Well, if they do remake it, let's have, like, Will Ferrell be...
Yeah, right. Make it a comedy, a total comedy. Right. Yeah, and with the sex scene there, too, Paul. And then he goes to the other girl.
Right.
Just got done with the one girl. It was funny. All right, let's get into the ratings then with this one. 1982 Forbidden World, also mutant, like Horrorgal said, and start with the story, Horrorgal.
The story wasn't that bad. It reminded me of the other movie that was just released not that long ago, the Splice movie, because of them splicing two kind of different substances together and mutating into something different. So the story wasn't that bad. The way it was played out was bad, but for plot, I'll give it a 6, satisfactory.
Wow. All right, Paul.
Oh, it's funny because I actually give it a 6 as well. Because I kind of bought into the kitschiness of it. I was like, this is funny. Of course they're gonna do this, you know. And I did like that sort of the irony of it. I loved that they were making this for food, and then it starts eating them. Like, I don't know. There's something about that I really liked. So I'd give it a 6.
I didn't buy into this at all. The scientifics behind it, making food source, they got to make a creature, and then you find out it's mixed with human DNA. How they killed it was pretty cool, I guess. You know, there's such a bad part in this when he's cutting out the part that has cancer on it, and the guy's still alive. I guess this is more towards acting, but I'm saying it. But once the guys die, did you see their two characters' face there? They look down like, oh, my God, he's dead. You just cut him apart and ripped out his liver or whatever it was. Like, why would you be shocked? So poor. I think the story was stupid. And they didn't explain enough about basically the overall world. Why are people space traveling? They only needed 5 minutes. It was a short film. And why is this guy alone? Why isn't there other people with him? There's no contact with Earth, I guess. Maybe the little robot said something. The robot should have been in it more, in my opinion. I think this story was horrible. I'm going with a 3. Bad. Let's go in with the acting, Horrorgal.
Acting was horrible, I think. What year was this? 1982? Yeah, it could have been a lot better. I thought it was poor. I think the only decent one that I probably the best one out of them was the lead scientist that was injecting himself. I don't know who played that part, but he was probably the best one in the movie. For total acting, I'm going to say four.
Paul?
Gosh, you know, again, I'm probably a little biased because I'm an actor.
That's all right, Paul.
Honestly, again, looking at it and looking at the time and maybe what they were going for, I thought that the acting, again, this is coming from, like, I was trying to put myself in that cast. And I was like, I thought, for given the content and the lines that some of the lines that they had to deliver,
right,
I thought that they did just above average, like a 6.
What role, if you could have been in that movie, would you have took, Paul?
Oh my gosh, I would have loved to play the scientist, the crazy guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that would have been a good time.
Paul's an actor, and he knows more about it than me, but I think it was absolutely garbage. I didn't believe it. The main scientist, the one I think you... The bad guy, that's the one you wanted to play, right? The one that was, like, holding the information. I think he was by far the worst. So, yeah, we should have put you in there. We might have got a 10 rating acting job.
We could hope.
But, I thought it was ultra bad acting from everybody. There wasn't one standout at all. I think there was even reading props there. You could see him looking away, reading sometimes. I thought I could see that. I just thought it was so bad, too awful. Let's move into the video effects and cinematography. And this is a lot of it, Hargal, so what are you giving that?
Oh, God, horrible. The little spaceship they had floating on the wire, yeah, that was good.
But the blue UFO thing that was supposed to be them?
Right. There were a couple of video effects in there I did like. I did like the effect where the guy's, like, half his face was taken out. I thought that was good. And then the scene where he's laying on the table and he actually lifts up his head and it's, like, all gooey and his eyeballs hanging out and half his face is off. I thought that was pretty good. That was probably the least cheesiest to me of the whole film. But on a whole, most everything was cheesy. I can't give it anything good. Four poor.
I like that half face spot too, Arga. I thought that was probably the best effect. Okay, Paul, what's your rating on that?
I think Horror Gal said probably the best effect in the whole movie. I thought the rest of them were just cheesy effects. You know, when they've got the monster hooked up to the computer, and I was just like, what are they doing? I would give it a 2.
All right. Yeah, this is hard to because I wish I would know if he meant this to be ultra cheesy, because it would probably change my mind on the ratings in this. If this was meant to be like a comedy spoof, ultra cheesy, almost like the movie Saturday the 14th was, you know, over the top, stupid type stuff, I'd be rating it higher, but I can't. For what was in it, it was all ultra bad, worse than 60s effects when they're in space. I think the creature was so phony looking. It don't even move. It's goofy. I'm giving it a 2 also. Horrible. Let's move into the last category, which is sound and music. Hargo.
Horrible dialogue. Such gimmicky music they had playing. It was horrible. I didn't like anything about the sound in it, the dialogue, anything. Too awful.
Boy, we're getting a lot of twos on this movie. All right, Paul, how about you?
Well, I thought that a lot of the sound was really gimmicky. I would agree with Orgel. But some of the, again, if I'm thinking that kitschy thing is what they were going for, I thought that some of that 80s sound stuff was perfect with what they had going on. So I'm actually going to give it a 6.
I'm more with Paul too, Hargal. I didn't like the old-time music, out-of-place music of that. But there was actually some chilling tracks in that when they're, like, running down the corridors. There's, like, a ding, ding, like, some really cool different sound effects in it that were actually – if I would have fell asleep, those parts would have woke me up because it was pretty decent in certain parts. So it's a mixed bag for me. I hated the campy stuff that were out of place, but I like some of the intense scenes where it was actually scary, creepy music. So I'm going right down the middle with a 5 on that. All right, now this is a big decision for our audience out there. Probably not a lot of people have seen this, Horror Gal. It's available from Shout Factory. That's who picked the movie up. It's $15.99, a double disc set, Blu-ray and DVD. The Blu-ray was remastered, and they remastered it in widescreen on the disc also. So what's your recommendation for this flick?
Waste of time. Don't bother. It's not even worth a dollar rent to me. Only thing I really found to be halfway decent was the plot outline and a couple of video effects. Everything else, in my opinion, was poor, not worth a rent. I don't think too many people would enjoy this. Stay away. Too awful for the movie.
All right. Paul, you got any better news for the audience?
Oh, not really. I think this would be a very specific thing where people would watch this. You know, if you're looking for a really kitschy, silly movie, you know, one of those movies that you kind of want to make fun of while you're watching it, then this would be a movie for you. But I probably wouldn't buy it. I would say don't buy it. So I'd give it a 2 as well.
Okay. Before I give you my rating, I got one fact I thought was interesting on this. During a test screening, Roger Corman actually smacked an audience member upside his head for laughing at the film. Sometime later, that same audience member poured soda all over his head from the balcony. And Roger Corman was so upset people were laughing in this, he actually cut out 6 minutes of footage that was released in the original. Now, you do get that extra 6 minutes on the discs that were released. But he was so upset people were laughing at that. So that goes to the effect that he didn't want it to be campy, right, Paul?
I would take that to mean that he didn't intend for it to be kitschy. So it kind of changes my view of it a little bit.
Right. So after that, after I read that, I'm really going ultra low, and I'm agreeing with the other hosts this week. It's 2. Horrible. I might have gave it a 3 if it was meant to be campy. But it was so bad. Avoid it. Don't rent it. Nothing. I think we just save you some money. Don't buy the Blu-ray. You'll never see it again if you get it.
So. Save your time with a different movie.
Right. So that'll wrap it up this week. We want to thank Paul Cram for joining us, man. It was super fun, man. You're awesome.
Oh, I appreciate it. It was really nice to chat with both of you guys.
Definitely.
Guy and gal, I should say. I should say guy and gal.
There you go. Find out all about Paul at paulcramactor.com. He's got his resume up on IMDb. He's on Twitter, Facebook, MySpace also, Paul?
It's funny. Actually, 2 months ago, I deleted my MySpace account. I felt really good about it.
Okay, good. No MySpace. But we will have links up to learn more about Paul and his work. And I'm going to get the 13 hours in a warehouse, and we'll let you know what we think of that on an upcoming episode.
I look forward to it. Okay.
Okay. Any last words, Horror Gal?
I just want to give the Redbox code. I actually forgot to last week for your free one-night DVD rental.
All right.
This week it's RE65G675. Let me repeat that. It's RE65G675.
All right. That's for the one-night free rental with Redbox. And what if Forbidden World's in there? Can you...
No, don't bother.
It's free, Horror Gal, not even free, huh?
No, not even free.
That's good.
All right, we'll catch you all next week. See you later.
Slasher, monster, alien, zombies, witches, and ghosts. Listen in on Guy and Gal, horror movie hosts. We don't use profanity or scripts, we play it by ear. For men and women of all ages to hear. Now playing in theaters, should I wait or should I go? You choose based on our ratings that could be high or could be low. DVD releases that are coming your way, We will give you relevant advice so you can decide to purchase or stray. Just two horror movie enthusiasts that love the thrill and excitement of a good scare, critiquing, reviewing, and rating, so listen if you do. We don't always agree, but hey, that's okay. You make the final choice whether to watch or stay away. Whether the movie's a hit or whether it's a bomb, listen to our podcast for our opinions at hmpod.com.
I hope you enjoyed the horror movie show. Remember, all new episodes are released every Wednesday. We accept all questions, comments, and suggestions via our website or by emailing us directly at feedback@hmpod.com. If you are interested in advertising on this fine podcast, you can navigate to hmpod.com/contact to get a hold of one of our representatives. Or email us directly at advertising@hmpod.com. We offer extremely competitive rates for weekly, monthly, and yearly episode pricing. For the Horror Guy and Horror Gal, we will see you all next week with more titillating reviews.